Blog Talk Radio.
Your attention, please. Pay attention, please. Be a witness, we got heroes and heroes in the light, bringing truth to the light. They're bringing truth to the light. Your attention, please. Pay attention, please.
I could write a legend to the ledger, and y'all would understand the rules.
Peace and blessings, and welcome to Flavism. Tonight I wanted to talk about personalities and online presence, and hope to have some callers call in and join me in conversation. But until I kind of get that first caller that raised their hand, let me just play a few tracks, and then I'll kind of explain why I want to do this show tonight. So let's see. You know what? I think I am going to play a piece by My Family, and I'm going to play Spell on You by Black Stax.
Put a spell on you.
Yeah, spell on you.
Cause you're bad.
Put a spell on you.
Cause you're bad.
All black face, booed up, all black cup, church. Sideways in many ways, lanes and learning the directions of life. Yeah, that's to the R, yeah, the T to the far. Spin, spin like the range of a star. Stay blurry and scarred with the ghetto dreams that get your grip to stay lit. Fuck flames in my chain, make point to pinpoint. Yeah, turn up the volume. What's the sound of the nation? What's the pokey blasting? Grip I run with, bachelor and Mike snap the nut, ace conductions, fuck the problem, call them calculated, all time funk, went and see, that's the ceremony, yeah, rhyming, only in this for the rhyme, bound to get you up and down, down, equalize, my ass and all of us.
That was Black Stax out of the Pacific Northwest with their piece, Spell on You. And if you haven't seen the video, you should go over to YouTube and check it out. There's an amazing spiritual interpretive dancer that performs with them when they do this particular piece. And I love the video, but I have to say I really, really enjoy seeing it performed in person. It's just absolutely amazing. So, again, tonight is another Flavism show, and I want to talk about personalities and online presence. And the reason being is that there, you know, I think about what type of personality can really, really sell a product when you come to being an underground independent artist. And I think that, you know, you really need to be outgoing and have some kind of some charisma about you and be open and willing to engage people. I was having this conversation with a few of my friends over the last few days, and I think that when you really engage your potential fans, that's when they pay attention to you a little bit more and will then may step up and support you in who you're doing, and even to the point of purchasing your product. So, and then when it comes to the online presence, you know, I was thinking about this also. You know, that Facebook is one of my favorite social networks, and it's interesting what you see people post, you know, from the type of pictures that they post to the comments that they make. So I'd love to have a conversation with you about that, but I'm just going to play a few more pieces. I see there's some people on the phone line with me. I'm hoping some of them or one of them or whatever will raise their hand, but I'm going to play a song. This young man, I'm going to take this as he's really excited about coming on the leopard carpet with me today. But unfortunately, he is coming on the leopard carpet with me on January 26th, and the silly man tried to call into the show tonight for his feature. So big shout-outs to Winston Warrior, and I'm going to play his piece, Bad For You.
Thank you.
All right, that was Winston Warrior with his single track, Bad For You. And, again, Winston was so anxious, I guess, he tried to call in tonight for his feature, and I had to go back and say, I'm sorry, Winston, you're not on until January 26th. But he's got a new video out. I have it on my wall over on Facebook, which is called Keep Moving, or go over to YouTube and just Google him. The one thing that I'm learning about Winston is that he's very charismatic. He's very, very engaging. And I have to tell you that every single time that I play his music on one of my shows, he always comes back and thanks me. And that's really kind of big for me, I'll be honest. I really, really appreciate the fact when an artist acknowledges that I play, you know, their music. Because they don't have to, just like I don't have to play the music. But everybody that you hear on the shows these days are members of the Flava News movement. And so it's an honor, you know, for me to be able to play the music. So Winston Warrior is going to be stepping on the leopard carpet with me on the 26th. Let me just give a shout-out. I've got quite a few back-to-back leopard carpet features. So Stephen Jerome Ferguson is going to be on the leopard carpet with me on the 17th from SJF Music. He's going to talk about, you know, what's going on with SJF Music now and into the future and, you know, talk about the projects that he is working on with other artists to his own project and, you know, some of the wisdom that he has to share in being in this industry for many, many years. Then the following Thursday, the 19th, I'm going to have a feature on Nuwambe. So if you go to, again, to my wall, you can see the flyer that I created for him to step on the leopard carpet, and I also included a video of him performing with at a show with Eric Roberson. So go check that out. But tonight's show is about, you know, your personality. Do you have a personality to sell yourself as an artist? There are so many creative souls out there, and I'm blessed to know a lot of them. Not even half of them, right? That's out there, but of course, a lot of them coming my way. But not all of them are really, really good at selling themselves, you know, and kind of coming across with that confidence that their product is really, really good and worth you paying attention to. Now, there's some artists out there, though, that have all the charisma in the world, and they could sell you, you know, rain on a sunny day. Well, maybe you'd want it to rain on a sunny day. But, you know, I mean, they have such a personality, but they're not a quality artist. And that's really, really hard. You know, when you see somebody with a good, good hustle and what they're creating is not very good, that's hard. But I think that you do need to be able to sell yourself. The other thing that I wanted to talk about is online presence. What does that really, really look like? And please know that I am not an expert. You know, I am opinionated, but I'm not an expert. So that's why I open up the phone lines, because I like to hear other people's opinions. But this is a conversation I've been having for years with a variety of people, from the days of MySpace to, you know, now on Facebook. And I just had this conversation with somebody the other night in regards to MySpace. Remember back in MySpace days when you could select who your top friends are and this and that? And so many of the guys had booty girls all lined up. All the women on the top friends, you know, had their butts out and their boobs out and all of that. And it's like, but you want to be recognized as an author, huh? And that's who you're displaying. And it was like, you know, if you want to be taken seriously, then really, really think about who you're putting out there in front of everybody else, whether it be yourself, you know, whether it be your connections or whomever. What is that picture representing that speaks about you? I think that artists should definitely have a page that is kind of focused on them as an artist. For myself, I ended up separating it. So I have a Susan page that is just for family and friends, people I grew up with, people that I work with or worked with. They're all over there on my Susan page. They don't really tolerate my Lady Flava page. So Lady Flava is all about the arts. It's all about connecting with people who love the artists, and it's all about connecting with artists over there. But it's I found something interesting. Yesterday I went and got my hair cut. I haven't gotten my hair cut in a while, and I just felt really, really good about it. And my dear friend Blaze out in in New York. You'll be hearing more and more from her. She was like, you know, she always reminds me I need to pamper myself, you know. So I had a Blaze moment yesterday, and I was like, okay, I'm going to get my haircut. Daddy wants to get his haircut. I'm going to get my haircut. So I went ahead and posted a picture of my new haircut. Do you know, I think I have like 37 hits to that picture, you know, and I get maybe 2-3 hits to an event that I've created for a radio show supporting artists. I think this is so interesting to me. People can post comments and hit the like button when I take a picture of myself, you know, or whatever. So anyway, I do have some people who've raised their hands, so let me bring the first one in. Caller from the 425 area code, you're on Flavism with Lady Flava.
Lady Flava, it is BK.
How are you,
darling? We're connected on Facebook. I'm fantastic. How are you?
Oh, my goodness. What a wonderful surprise. I'm just like, okay, you have a local area code?
I do, as I used to reside in Seattle. That's still home to me, so no point in changing that area code. Yeah.
Okay. So for everybody who's out there listening, BK has got to be one of the baddest female MCs, but on top of that, she can sing. No, she can sing. So she does these one-minute spits. How often do you do them, BK?
I try to get them in about once every 2 weeks, if not once every week. And, of course, you know, that depends on some of the other projects that I have going on. But, you know. Average, I'd say, about once every 2 weeks.
Okay. Well, she's amazing. And whenever I see her, you know, posting one of her videos up and things like that, you know, I have to repost. I just think, you know, I think you're amazing. I do.
Thank you.
The first time I saw it, I was just in awe of your talents, you know. So that, of course, was the draw for me.
Sure.
But as time has passed, you know, and we haven't been connected that long, I think, you know, you're one of those people, can I just adopt you, BK, because I just want to be your mama or something. You know, you make a mama proud, you know, because,
thank you.
You know, you deal with issues, you know, some really, really strong, solid issues that need to be dealt with. And, you know, your video that addressed the fact, you know, because there's so much bullying going on.
Sure.
And,
yeah,
you know, I recently had to deal with an issue with my 8-year-old grandson, you know, being bullied at school. And
yeah.
So, you know, then you see all these postings of young people, you know, committing suicide behind bullying, whether they're being harassed for potentially or possibly being gay to, you know, being fat, ugly, whatever, you know, the reason that kids can be so cruel to each other. So I really admire the fact that you took that on, you know, in one of your videos, you know, and that you even just went to the point like, hey, if you need somebody, you know, get with me and I'll be there for you. So, you know, I really, really,
absolutely.
You know, big ups for you.
Thank you.
So,
thank you. I thought it was important.
Well, you know, and that's when I think artists can really make a difference. You know, when you're a creative person, you can take that creativity and become a messenger. You know, or you're a representation, you know what I mean? So it's like the perfect, you know, gift you have to get a message across. And I think sometimes people don't even realize the message is there. You know what I mean? Like maybe they listen the first, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, maybe up to 10 times to something. And then they're like, huh, let me really pay attention to these words because, you know, I'm sitting here like singing them like, wow, that's what the message is in this. You know what I mean?
I think that's a good way. It's a good way to educate your listeners. You know, I as you know, I try not to get too preachy, but I do want, you know, I do want to execute my voice in ways that I think are really positive. And sometimes issues come along that, as an artist, there is kind of a press to, you know, you're obligated. There are people listening, and there are people that are tapping into you, and certainly. If they are listening and things need to be said, then I do think that artists hold a little bit of responsibility to go ahead and do that.
Right.
You know, I'm a songwriter, so it's really easy for me to say things that are on my mind, and I recognize that around me that's not the case. So anything that I can do to kind of expedite awareness, especially in these key areas, I think that I'm excited to do.
Right. Okay. Well, I appreciate that. You know, so, you know, I've thrown out the topic, BK, about,
yep.
you know, your personality and online presence. Is that what drew you in, or did you just want to talk to Mama Flavor?
No, I called in to discuss the topic. I thought that it was interesting,
okay.
and it's certainly something that, you know, I wasn't sure if you're going to have another artist on, so to get it from an artist perspective might be kind of
mm-hmm.
interesting for the conversation
right.
on the topic.
Right.
You know, I've sat in a lot of meetings. I obviously do the online one-minute spit, and I definitely am mm-hmm. present online, but I'm constantly trying to speak more innovative ways to get the word out there. And one thing that I think is something that's really important, and it ties into something that you said about an artist thanking you for the exposure. One thing that I found really helps me is to be directly in contact with your fans as much as possible. Sometimes that's not always going to be the easiest thing, especially when you have lots and lots of fans that love to contact you. But if you take a day, take a few hours each day to directly contact and thank people around you that offer support, I think then, you know, they're much more inclined to relate to you as a human being. And then if, you know, obviously they already relate to your music, they'll be much more willing to share and support with others in their friends and family unit. And I think that, you know, if you can keep those rounds going, you get a fan base that isn't just going to bail you after that single. They're long-term fans. They're the ones that
right.
are actually going to keep your career going with some longevity.
Good point. Really, really
yeah.
good point. And I think that I so agree with you on that, that the more connected you can be, especially at this level, you know what I mean? It is when you're developing, you know, and
yeah.
those fans are what are going to help push you forward,
that's
you know,
right.
especially if you're an artist that is really, really quality and deserving. I do recognize, BK, which I'm sure you have too, being in this industry, that there are some people that just don't have the personality to be an artist out there striving to get to the point of making money.
Sure.
I do
absolutely.
I think that. As, you know, I've seen, you know, hip-hop artists get on the stage and be amazing on stage, but once they step off of there, they can't
different
even look you in the face and talk.
Yeah.
You know?
Very strange.
And it is really strange. I'm like, how did you do that up there? But then, like, could we have a conversation now, you know?
Yeah,
And I think that you have to be able to take some of that, you know, when you're not on stage or you're not in that spotlight or whatever, and be able to engage, because you know, we the fans are going to be the ones that are going to push you forward. So I'll be honest
right.
with you, you know, the ones that reach out and say, hey, thanks, Flav, or whatever it is, it's like, you know, I pay attention to them a little bit more than the others,
of course,
even though I appreciate the craft and the art, you know, and all of that. But I also, you know, notice, you know, on Facebook, because, you know, I know I look like I'm on there all the time. I'm really not, because I'm grandma during the week.
You
so
and me,
I'm really
you and me
here
both.
With, you know, but, you know, so Kimora gets a lot of my attention during the day. But it's amazing the mess that people start on Facebook, you know.
Absolutely.
And
there
was this woman, last week I think it was, who posted up a picture holding her breasts, and then she was offended by the comments she was getting by men.
Sure.
And I'm
yeah,
like,
I think
okay,
that's very strange. You know, you kind of set yourself up for that. You know, that's very interesting. You know, the psychology behind that is foreign to
right.
me, I think, a little bit.
I totally get the freedom of speech and the freedom of this, that, and the other. Totally get that. I totally respect that, too. But I think that when you do certain things, you just need to be aware that you're going to get certain attention,
that's
you know,
right.
or
that's right.
or women, you know, or even like men taking off their shirts, you know, or whatever and doing, you know, whatever it is, the, you know, certain poses or whatever. They're going to get reactions.
That's
you know,
right.
from people, you know,
and
so
I have a hard time
a woman,
believing that that's not something that they were looking for to begin with. I mean, you post
right.
something in hopes that you're going to get some kind of reaction,
sure.
whether that be a positive or negative. You know, in today's market, you have to be willing to accept both equally.
Right.
There are going to be things, especially on an artist level, people will like things and people will not. And you have to kind of appreciate both when you decide to post a representation of yourself online. And I've learned, that took me a while. As you know, from the artist perspective, I think I'm a little bit more business-minded than most artists are. Which is great, but then at the same time, it's just like, you know, yeah, you post something and somebody has some harsh things to say. I think you gotta take the good and the bad together and be aware that if you're going to post something, people are going to have opinions and they're completely entitled to those opinions.
Right, right. I told this story a few weeks ago, BK, on one of my shows. You know the poke button on Facebook? Like, what is it really for, right?
Really? But yes, I'm curious. What is your answer? What have you discovered? Share the wisdom.
Well, I mean, I know that some people take it as a flirting thing, right? For me,
sure.
I think on a whole, I'm going to just put it out there. It may not be what it is at all, but I think for me, because there aren't very many that do poke me, most of them that poke me are honestly spoken word artists that I've known for years.
Sure.
I think it's like, hey, Flav, we're seeing you poke, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think it does translate to we see you, you know. Like, hey, we see what you're doing, you know, and we're here. We're here supporting you. I mean,
right.
I agree. I don't get a lot that are romantically related. Most of them are friends of mine that I've had for many years, very similar to you, or fans that I have. Yeah.
Right. So I'm like, okay. That's how I'm just going to interpret it. It's men and women who poke me. But there's this one guy. He's not an artist. He's just, I don't know what his real purpose is, because I'll be honest.
You have a groupie? You have a groupie, Flav. I think that's what that is.
I don't know what he is. BK, I think he's just, I don't know what he is, you know, but he's just kind of there.
Right.
And generally, if you're on some, you know, like several other people's friends list that are my friends, I'll most likely accept you.
Sure.
So I think he's been on my list, I'll say maybe a year. And then one day,
wow.
I poked him back, right? And I'm thinking I've poked him back before. I'm not sure, but I poked him back. Do you know that man sent me a private message and said, when you poked me, I went and looked at your feet. I was like,
oh,
and see, I have a picture of my feet. Yeah. So he got deleted and blocked. But
yeah.
I couldn't even respond to that. And I wasn't going to even respond to it. I was like, you serve no purpose for me. Goodbye. Let's be gone.
Sure.
You know, but I had taken a picture of, I had gotten a manicure and a pedicure and, you know, matching hands and feet. I put my hands down by my feet and took a picture. I was like so thrilled, kind of like my haircut yesterday, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was like, he's going to tell me when you poked me back, I had to go look at your feet. I'm like, you know, and so that made me think too, okay, like.
Sure.
My
what is this poking really
head,
all about?
Right. But my purpose in putting this picture, which is over a year old, too, was because I was just happy. That was a day that I pampered myself, and I was, like, happy. I have matching toes and fingers, and I'm like,
sure.
I realize now that, you know, some people got foot fetishes. Like,
sure, yeah.
So anybody out there listening to the show, don't have no foot fetish on Lady Flavor's feet, okay? Because, no, you will be
squaw. You can add BK to that
squaw
list, too. I'm not really interested in people with foot fetishes, but, you know, everybody's got their own thing, so, you know, power to you.
I'm going
to
give,
you know,
BK permission to write a one-minute spit on hating on the foot fetish people. Okay. So, BK, I got another caller who's been hanging on, so let me bring him in to join us.
All right.
So, Stephen Jerome Ferguson, welcome to Flavism tonight.
Hey, how you doing, Flavism? How you doing?
Very good. So, BK, this is Stephen Jerome Ferguson. He's an amazing jazz musician and producer out in Kansas. And BK's an amazing MC and vocalist, well, out of California now, but I guess she used to be up here in my region.
I did.
How you doing, BK?
I'm doing well. How are you, my friend?
Pretty good for an old guy. I'm hanging in there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good.
So what do you think about the conversation thus far, Stephen?
I was tripping off of y'all talking about the poking and the guy with the feet thing and all that. I was like, what?
So you're not a foot fetish guy, is what you're saying?
No, I'm not. No. But it brings up a good point, though, that and especially with women online, is you got to kind of take, you have to take it into account that there are people out there like that. And
absolutely.
You got to be very careful what you post.
Yeah.
Because, you know, let's call it what it is. There's some freaks out here. Okay?
Yeah.
And,
that's real tough.
You know, you have to think about, you know, what you're putting up there, what it's actually going to attract. So, you know, I mean, when people think of groupies sometimes, they think about, you know, they think about male artists and all that, having all these women and all that around. But it works the other way, too. Female artists
can
have male groupies big time.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
So
very big. And I think females, you know, and I can speak on, you know, we're always riding this line of how do we kind of remain true to who we are, and knowing that the sex sells and all of this, you know, it does become difficult to find out, you know, if you're a female like me anyways, who's not exposing the boobs and the butt online all the time, you know, it's like, you know, you have to be conscious of how you're representing yourself for sure. Or you will start to attract those individuals. And unfortunately, you know, knowing that you can't really control them being out there, you can control how you represent yourself. And I think, you know, that's something I'd like to see more females do, is represent themselves with class. You know, I think that's kind of gone away because you get so much more attention, you know, showing your goods, unfortunately.
Exactly, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, when you go fishing, the fisherman puts a worm on the hook and throws it in the water. The fish bites at it. You know, whose fault is it? Is it the fisherman's fault for putting the bait out there, or is it the fish's fault for biting? You know?
Right, right.
So you put the bait out there, somebody's going to bite.
Sure. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, and it just, I've been having, you know, a variety of conversations with different artists and different people about, you know, what type of personality can really sell their craft to, you know, what does their online presence look like? And, you know, I clearly, like, a lot of people don't pay attention to me, you know, but, you know, it's known, of course, that the hip-hop community gravitates to me. And, you know, I have to be reminded that it's because of my name, right? And I'm just like, why is the hip-hop community just coming at me so tough, right?
Sure.
And I forget about the fact that I decided to call my coffee shop Flava Coffee House to then, you know, becoming Lady Flava, you know. So
right.
I accept that. But at the same time, I really want people to do their research on me and pay attention to what I will accept.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm not going to go for a whole lot of cursing. I'm not going to go for any degrading of any group of people. I'm not going to go for the N-word being thrown out there left and right. I really, really am into, you know, pieces that have substance to it and a message. I'm more of a conscious hip-hop type fan than the commercial hip-hop or whatever. You know, so it's like, why are you posting on my wall,
right,
you know, a piece like that? Obviously, you don't know me, but then my feeling is if you're going to post on my wall, then you want, or you're going to post publicly, you want a public opinion.
Sure.
You know. So, you know, I haven't made, like, every, you know, I've got some haters out there because I've been honest with what they've posted on my wall or whatever. But, you know, even at that, I think that's another thing to think about. Like, who and where and how can you go about posting? I think it's easier when you have an art form that can be appreciated out there by many audiences,
mm-hmm,
to go out there and post. But when you have a specific style of art, I think that you need to know who you can post that to.
Absolutely.
And not.
Yeah,
definitely.
You need to look up the right bloggers. You have to look up the people that are supportive of what you have going on. And, you know, that post that you were talking about, or some of these people that post to you that clearly haven't done their research, You know, I don't want to speak for you, but does that put a salty taste in your mouth? Like, well, they blindly, you know, just kind of tried to self-promote without even recognizing who they were promoting to.
Right.
My guess would be you're less inclined then to support that individual because, truthfully, if they were supportive of you, they would have done a little bit more research before, you know, kind of soliciting you for whatever help or reposting or whatever. You cannot post blindly. I think that's it's a waste of time. You have to really know your demographic and market. You need to be true to that market. And then I think they're willing to help you at that point.
Yeah, definitely.
Blind posting can be dangerous sometimes too because you just blindly post on everybody's wall on something that you did. Some people take offense to that.
Yeah, a lot of people take offense to that. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people consider it like spam or something like that. It's just not a smart thing to do.
I have a question.
Do your research.
I have a question for the both of you, and I think it's something that, you know, I struggle with, which is the Twitter thing of, you know, this constant desire now to keep updating people with things that you're doing that are not music-related. This is kind of this new idea, at least to me. It appears to me that people are less interested on the Twitter, at least, to advertise their music, and it's more about what they're doing every day. You know, just everyday things like, hey, I'm going to the store or I saw this great movie. I think as an artist, I have a much harder time with that. I have a hard time believing that anybody would care what particular movie I was watching that night or what I was drinking in my glass, you know, but I guess that's kind of the new thing. And I'm curious as to know your guys' thoughts on how relevant that is and how much you actually pay attention to that in artists that you like around you.
Well, for myself, BK, I'm so not a Twitterer, whatever. See, I can't even remember what the real term is. I do have it. I mean, it comes to my phone and everything, but I don't really know how to utilize it. You know, I will post out my radio shows on there. I do have like a ping account so that when I do ping, you know, everything goes to all the different social networks that I'm on. So it goes on there. But I don't sit on Twitter. But I thought that's just really interesting to me also. And I'll be honest with you, too. I don't understand some of the verbiage. So
I'm with you.
I don't even know what they're even talking about or if they even want me to respond to it. You know,
sure.
So I don't get that. And I think it kind of comes back to, like, me getting the haircut yesterday and posting a picture of me with a haircut and getting – you know, immediately 30-something hits to it, you know, when my whole thing is being the artist cheerleader, and I really want you to pay attention to my radio shows or an artist that I'm supporting. I'd rather have those 37 hits to, you know, saying, hey, Flav, I really, really, you know, dug, you know, BK's video.
Right.
You know, and I do get messages about people really digging your video, and I do have people that actually repost your videos. You know, but that's what I would prefer then for them to jump all over the fact that I got a haircut. but then, I know. But then I do throw out personal things. You know, everybody knows I'm a grandma. I'm watching my grandkids. You know, I'll put out there Sean's sick or Kimora did that or, you know, I took daddy to do this or whatever. And I think when I do that, I like people to know that I'm human, you know what I mean? It's not just me over here waving my leopard pom-poms and trying to support underground independent artists. You know, I am a woman. I have grandchildren. I have children, you know, and this, that, and the other. And so being a little bit more personal, I learned this from Brian O'Neill, who is a jazz musician out of Detroit, Michigan. And he had said, you know, he's got two pages of like 5,000 people or whatever, you know, and he's learned the knack of creating a post that makes people feel like he's actually just engaging them one-on-one.
Right.
You know, and so it's showing like a personal side. Oh, I'm at the, you know, I'm at the chicken and waffle place, you know, in Atlanta, you know, or
sure.
whatever. And so it's like, you know, then he gets all these hits. And he, too, will talk about the fact, you know, that, you know, how come he's not getting hits to when, you know, he's got a nonprofit organization called Dew Foundation where he's working with the homeless and trying to end homelessness.
Exactly.
You know, so he can't get those type of hits to his Dew Foundation that he gets when he goes and has chicken and waffles. So the Twitter thing, man,
yeah.
I don't know. It hasn't grabbed me yet.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, as an artist, you know, we feel forced. I have to. You know, I don't have a choice. You don't have a Twitter. It's like you're not even taken seriously as an artist. And unfortunately, you know, it's not just MySpace anymore. There are several platforms that, you know, we have to be a part of whether we think they're relevant or not because society believes that they're relevant. And I think that I struggle with when is personal too personal. You know, if I'm eating waffles and chicken,
yeah.
for example, am I going to want to post exactly where I'm at? You never
right.
know what it is that you're
well.
Opening the door to. And I think that that's always a problem with me. It's just like I don't want to be enjoying my chicken and waffles and then, you know, be slammed with somebody that I don't even know who was like,
right.
oh, I followed you here because, you know,
right.
we're on Twitter and let me look at your feet. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Right.
So,
so what are your thoughts, Stephen?
You have to find a balance, I think. Brian has the good right idea. The fans like to have that feeling of at least a semi-personal connection to an artist. You can still post personal type things, even things that aren't really personal, but even they sound personal and can have that effect. The thing with Twitter about the one thing about Twitter is that I'm not too crazy about is the fact that you could put a post on Twitter and you can go back and look 3 minutes later and that post has completely disappeared because everybody's
right.
posting that, oh, I'm going shoe shopping, I'm getting a haircut, I'm doing this, I'm doing that.
Right.
You know, and your post about your new single release had just been pushed all the way down to the bottom of the page.
Yeah.
Facebook gives you a little bit better leeway on that.
Yeah.
But you have to find your own balance. I'm with you, BK. I wouldn't tell everybody I'm at the Popeye's Chicken at the corner of such and such
right.
and such and such in Kansas City, and I'm, you know, doing this because you never know, you know?
That's right.
But things like what you post, Flav, about, you know, the grandkids, that kind of stuff like that, is personal, but it's still not giving anybody any personal information.
Right.
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 Right. You know what I'm saying? So there's that personal feeling, but what are you actually really telling them? You're not telling them where you live.
Right.
You're not telling them first, last
right.
name, social security
sure.
numbers, all that kind of stuff like that. So, yeah, it's fine. But everybody has to find that balance.
Yeah.
It's kind of like there's no book written on it. It's kind of like a thing you have to find on your own. So
well,
I wish
yeah.
I could tell you how to do it, but, you know, some people do it better than others. Some people don't do it at all. Some people don't put any personal information, anything about what they're doing.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I do think that Twitter can serve a purpose. I just haven't quite figured out how to utilize it to serve a purpose for me.
Sure.
And I'm not going to, it doesn't seem like it's user-friendly to me to go find people to, like, follow you or something. I don't know. Maybe it is, and I'm just, like, old and too grumpy to go check it out any further or whatever. But
well, it's a very strange world of really just, you know, people wanting their names to be mentioned. I think that's what I've come to realize, is that anybody
yes.
will retweet anything with their name on it, and therefore how relevant is what you're tweeting at that point. And I think
right.
I struggle spending time when you know, I'm happy to promote others, but it becomes very tedious when that's all you're doing, and then you're posting things about yourself that people could care less about. I mean, that's kind of what I'm finding, unless their name is, you know, in your tweet, in which case, you know, you'll get retweeted or whatever. So it's a very strange kind of like ego stroking social media for me that doesn't really seem to be about what I thought initially, which was just kind of a new platform to update people on all of these wonderful things that you had going on in your career.
So what do you, just out of curiosity, BK, what do you think works for you, you know, being on these different social networks?
There's zero question that, you know, I'm a big believer that now more than anything, we are a visual society. You know, if you think about it back in the day when there wasn't music videos and YouTube and internet and all of this stuff, it was like we really had to listen to the music. And, it, you know, sometimes we weren't even able to identify the color of that particular artist. We were really forced to listen to whether the music in and of itself was good enough. Now we, you know, it isn't about that. You know, you can like an outfit that an artist is wearing and almost be distracted for the first minute and a half of a video and not be paying attention to the song. And it makes it tremendously important to, I think, up your visual presence especially. So for me, personally, doing the one-minute spits is great. And I started it because people don't have a lot of time. They don't want to sit there for 5 minutes and go through a whole song. That's just the truth. They want a little taste of what you do, short, sweet, and to the point. And then they want to see you doing it. And so I think, you know, for me, what's really helped is to get the visual in conjunction with the music and allow people to enjoy both. You know, I don't always, I'm not always happy that it has to be that way, but I'm certainly happy to, you know, create the videos. I love what I do. And as you know, since you've seen them, they're live, raw vocals in time, nothing edited.
Right.
So it is, you know, a showcase of skill, but they want to see me. There's zero question that I've learned over time that just giving them the audio nowadays is not enough. You have to have the YouTube channel. You have to still be making music videos, even though, you know, they're not going to air the way that they used to. And being comfortable with that. So for artists that have, you know, like you said, they can get up on stage, they blow everybody's mind, and then at the end of the night, they're not even sticking around to network and talk to people and thank them for coming and dealing with their merchandise and everything else. It's a package deal. Artists have to be willing to step up, be seen, not just on stage, but as a human being. And a lot of people aren't comfortable with that.
Right. You know, and it's funny that you brought up the visual thing. I think that you are so right. I think we are visual human beings, and I've been talking about this a lot lately, too, that any tool that you can create that catches the attention visually is definitely going to help. So, like, for instance, myself, everybody knows. If they don't know me by now, they know I love leopard print. So I want everybody, when they're out there anywhere in the world and they see leopard print, I seriously want them to think Lady Flava.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so that's part of my brand. That's part of, you know, creating this visual connection of who I am and what I do. Someday, one of these days, I am going to actually get leopard pom-poms, and I'll probably take a picture with leopard pom-poms, right, just because I talk about so much about it, you know, but I think that when we can see you perform, it makes it more personal. Okay, you're in California, you know, okay, maybe there's a good chance that I would be able to meet you in person just because, you know, you have lived up here, you know, and you've got connections up here in this area to, you know, you're on the same coast as I. But until that point happens, I get to engage you by seeing you do your one-minute spit. You know, you know, it's just like Steven, you know, has created some great visuals and videos to promote what he does with SJF Music to, you know, the artists that he is working with through that and all of that. And for me, I agree, BK, you know, it's not just about, like, hearing the audio. It's about, like, this visual association that goes along with the music, too.
Sure.
So just before I go to Stephen and ask Stephen his thoughts, so can I just ask you, BK, so is there a different feeling about the video that you have with Nappy Roots versus your 1 minute spits for you?
Absolutely. No question. They're completely different ball games. One is a strictly formulaic design. It's kind of, you know, and by that I mean the video with Nappy. Not that I didn't enjoy it. I loved it. I had a great time. It's a wonderful video. You know, you hear the audio. It's crispy clean and everything. It's great and intentional. I think the beauty about the one-minute spit, and it really started from friends of mine that used to accumulate in my bedroom, you know, when I had nothing at all, and I would just sing for them. I wanted something to capture that because after I'd record something, they were like, yeah, that's really great, and I love that song, but can you sing it live for me? Can you sing it live for me? You know, everybody has a different vibe. They really like the live sound, or they really like kind of that clean, radio-ready sound. The Nappy Roots video has that radio-ready, and I feel like everything in the video, right. It's got your storyline, it's got your high-quality vid, and that's great. But one thing about the one-minute spit that I made it a point never to change was kind of the quality. I wanted it to be like you were in my bedroom because you are. And then that way, if you're in Washington, Kansas, New York, or you're clear across, you know, over to Europe, you're feeling like you're in my bedroom because you know what? You are. So for me, the one-minute spits are personal, you know, and it gives me the opportunity to, you know, be in a T-shirt doing what I do every day and have people see me that way. I'm not going out to an award show. I'm not fancying up for you for a show or for, like, an official music video. This is something different.
Right.
This is, like, more for the people that want a little bit of reality because, you know, the one-minute spits, they're real. And I get a lot of comments and feedback on, you know, don't change this format. Don't increase the video quality. Don't increase the sound quality because this is how we know that we are just sitting in the bedroom with you.
Right.
So for me, yeah, they're totally different ball games. Yeah.
I will have to say this, though. In watching, you know, your video with Nappy Roots and watching your 1 minute spit, you've got some of, like, the same facial expressions. And I'm like, obviously, she just automatically does this thing with her eyes, you know, or, you know, or things with your mouth or whatever. And it was, like, funny to just, like, kind of go back and forth between the two type videos. I'm like, okay, that's just her thing. That's, you know, that's just part of who she is. And I love seeing that in the Nappy Roots, you know, video, too, you know, because, you know, I mean, yeah, it's a very polished, you know, video and all of that. And it has a great storyline, you know. But even at that, I still feel like, it was you. You know what I mean?
Good. That makes me incredibly happy. I think one of the challenges, especially with working with Nappy Roots, were very different from myself. And obviously their depiction in the video was very different than myself, was how can I represent myself as real as possible? And, you know, just, you know, a little quick background was that they actually wanted me sitting at the table with the bottle and all the people, and I told the directors at the time, I said, you're not listening to the song. The song clearly states that this isn't the situation that I'm in, and the only way that I felt comfortable doing the video was if I was actually working for the bar and restaurant that we were filming at. That felt real to me. Anything beyond that felt not sincere, and obviously I'm not that kind of artist, so they were able to take me being me and Nappy being Nappy and put it into one video where everybody felt comfortable, like they were repping themselves the way that they are and the way that they wanted, and I was cool with that.
Well, that's good. I'm glad that they listened to you and respected, you know, what you wanted. I do think that, I mean, I love the part, you know, where you slide your CD in front of them, you know, but because it's almost like, you know, how many times does an artist want to come upon a mainstream artist, a known artist, and say, would you just listen to me? Would you listen to my CD? You know, and maybe sometimes they will and maybe sometimes they won't. So that to me was also kind of realistic because I know artists want to do that. So,
yeah.
So anyways, So, Stephen, what do you think the benefit has been for you being on the different social networks?
Well, you can get to more people quicker that way. You know, back in the days before the social networks and all that, if you were a musician, you had to get out there and beat the clubs down and, you know, maybe play 3-4 gigs a week, get out there, hustle, and shake hands, meet people and all that. And you really actually still have to do that. But you can, with the internet now and all the social networks, you can get your word out about what you're doing a whole lot quicker and a whole lot easier now. With Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, you know, MySpace kind of got the ball rolling on musicians. They call it a viral network for a reason. You know, you try to get not only people coming to check out what you're doing, but your main intent is to try to get people to start talking about what you're doing to their friends, which spreads the word out for you a whole lot faster. I absolutely love it. You have to come up with a schedule and a system that works for you, that where, because your people expect you, they expect to hear from you periodically. So you have to have that, you know, you have to be on some type of schedule where they expect to hear from you from. I see some artists, they'll post something on their Facebook page, and then you don't hear anything else from them for like about a month or so. And then they wonder why nobody's paying attention to what they're doing.
Right. Yeah.
You have to be consistent. Now, yeah. Does that mean you have to do it every day? Nope. Mm-mm. You can take two days out of a week, maybe a couple of hours out of a day, whatever works for you. Again, you have to find that balance for yourself, because we all still have our own lives we have to live as well. You know, we all still have to go to work. We all still have to take care of family, you know. We all still have to do these things, so we can't be sitting online all day, every day. But with the technology we have, then it makes it a whole lot easier. I mean, my phone, I've got Twitter, Facebook, everything on my phone. Every time somebody, if I want to post something while I'm sitting at a stoplight, I can do it.
Right.
You know, and that's one thing that makes it a whole lot easier to do and a whole lot easier way of staying connected to the people that are showing you some type of interest. And that's probably one of the most important things is keeping that connection flowing. 'Cause you never know. You keep that connection up, that guy that you talked to, that you just said thank you for the post or something like that, he's going to go to his barbershop next week and sit down and talk, and people are going to be talking about music or something, and he's going to say, you know what, y'all need to go check out this Stephen Jerome Ferguson dude, you know, or y'all need to go check out this BK chick. I seen her do this one-minute thing on the internet. Y'all need to check that kind of stuff out. And that right there, that's what makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah, exactly.
If you could get those people to start talking about you, then hey, that's half the battle right there.
Absolutely.
But it's just learning how to use all those tools.
Yeah.
You know.
And you made a really good point, Stephen. You know, about being consistent and being out there, because and it can turn into work. So hopefully you love being on the social networks in a sense, because it can give you a headache. But
yes.
But you do need to keep yourself present and relevant in a sense, because there's so much competition out there that you know, the person who's in your face the most is, in a sense, that's who you're going to remember, you know. And
pretty much,
you know, there's somebody to step in your place, you know, if you kind of drift off, you know, or whatever.
Absolutely.
So it's a lot of work, you know, but trust and believe right now, I'll never forget Stephen Jerome Ferguson or BK. You know, it's something that will always be in my memory. And just even now having this conversation with the two of you, that's special to me. I don't take that
Absolutely.
For granted. So I,
yeah.
you know what I mean? So
right.
I could, you know, honestly, I could see me in like 20 years. I'll be, you know, 71 years old in 20 years. Saying, you know what, when I used to do that radio show, you know, them Flavism shows and them Flavor shows, you know, there was this one show and, you know, and BK, this amazing singer rapper, you know, that I just really, really dig, and, you know, the Stephen Jerome Ferguson, a jazz artist, they called in and we just had a great conversation. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean? So
yes.
This is a conversation I will remember, you know, because I place a lot of value in it. And just for the respect that the two of you, you know, called in to participate in this show, you know, is a respect thing. And I love that. So, you know, and without social networks, you know, I would have never connected with the two of you. You know
that's
what I mean?
True.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, so that's just like, I mean, what would the likeliness of me running into you guys, you know, in the grocery store in Seattle, Washington, you know? I mean, BK
yeah.
a little bit easier maybe, but still even at that, you know? So there's
you
somebody
know, but you
else
are,
who's
you are very consistent. I mean, I think, you know, I you know, as you know, I'm super busy, but I'm always keeping tabs on things that you're doing through these social networking sites because we're connected. So, you know, like mm-hmm. today when I was able to have a little bit of time and freedom when I caught on and you said, oh, I'm airing in whatever, 15 minutes. I was like, oh,
mm-hmm.
well, this is a perfect opportunity to be able to connect with you. And this goes back to the consistency because you're consistently letting us know this is what I'm doing, this is how you can get involved. And then it's up to that individual to get involved, you know, but the doors are
right.
open, you know, and many thanks for all of the support, you know, from an artist. That is amazing when somebody decides to just kind of create a scenario where we are able to talk like this. I think as an artist, we don't get involved enough with these kind of conversations. So I, you know, I thank you for even developing this opportunity.
Well, I'm really lucky, BK, that I have these sidebar conversations a lot, you know, on the phone. And when I started to do, like, the talk radio, it was like, it was one of the reasons I'm like, we should have this conversation online because I'm sure there are other people, you know, that might think about this subject or would like to chime in, you know. And, you know, there have been times when, you know, I've even had an artist call in from Switzerland, you know, to join in conversations and share the
mm-hmm.
same, you know, the same concerns as an underground independent artist, you know. So it's a beautiful thing. But just to have people call in to participate, you know, even makes it more worthwhile. So before I go any further, let me bring John D. Green Sr. in because he's been holding patiently. So, John, welcome to Flavism with Stephen and BK.
Well, thank you.
So, BK, John is an artist out of Michigan, and he's multi-talented. He's a singer-songwriter, composer, producer, musician, you know, just all kinds of things. And now he's an actor. So he's got actor on his list of fame, too. So welcome to the show, John.
Thank you.
What do you think of the conversation we're having?
It's very interesting. I'm taking it all in.
So what are your thoughts then, sir?
Well, actually, I've been on for about the last few minutes. I just
mm-hmm.
just got it from the set and
okay.
call in and I like the topic, the online presence. So I think we should, you know, we should just streak, you know. We should all just streak, guaranteed to create a buzz of some sort, be it good or bad. Just streak. I mean, you know.
Oh, you obviously missed the first part of the show, huh?
Oh, who was streaking? Steven, were you streaking?
No, I wasn't streaking this time, man. They haven't caught me yet.
We were talking about, John, at the beginning of the show, you know, how depending on how you choose to present yourself online can either bring a good reaction or a bad reaction or an unfavorable reaction, you know. So it's like, you know, women posing a certain way, you know whether they have their chest out or their butts out or, you know, their lips poot, you know. Is it called pooch? What do you call it? You know, like they're, I don't know, making that sexy look with their lips. Obviously, I'm not sexy. I don't even know what that's called. What do you call it when a woman puts her lips out? What do you
like
call that?
Like a purse, like they purse their lips out.
Purse.
Yeah.
Thank you, BK. You know, and stuff like that. And how those type of pictures may get you attention you don't want, but then you're like, okay, but can't you, you know, I understand, you know, the freedom of the internet in many ways that you can, you know, you can present yourself in all kinds of lights. Well, if you're doing something like that, you're more likely to get some attention from people that you may not want that from. And if you're a female who's really wanting to be respected, or you're an artist who wants to be respected in the industry, you need to think about the pictures you've got up, you know, and what type of attention. So streaking, John, you got an F for class today.
I have an affinity for the nakedness of one. No, I'm just kidding. But see, the quick switch into a more serious conversation now. HP. No, it definitely all depends on the type of attention that you're trying to attract and the level of seriousness in which you'd like to be taken. I mean, it would be very easy for different artists to get out there shirtless and buffed out to attract a certain age range and gender of a fan.
Mm-hmm.
But we all know, that was fun. We all know that they probably wouldn't be able to say one word from one single song, but they know every mole on my body. So that's not the attention. If I were a model, then that would be awesome.
Right.
But I'm not. So that's not the type of attention I want. And it goes both ways, be it male or female. We attract the kind of attention that we provoke by our actions, what we say and how we dress and how we present ourselves. So it's very important. But at the same time, it seems that those people attract quite a bit of attention. The sexy people, if you will.
Absolutely.
And that's the poison behind it, too.
Yeah, absolutely it is.
Other artists will see that and they'll say, man, look at my little numbers and look at their numbers. Maybe if I do that, maybe I can.
Yeah, that's right.
But you know what? Numbers have their place in life, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I told some of you guys this before. Back in the days when MySpace was the big thing and all that, I had a page that had something like 70,000 some people on it. And
wow.
I looked at, you know, I had it, everything connected through Reverb Nation and all that kind of stuff, and they showed me all my stats, my plays for the day and all that. And I got to the point where I said, you know what, I'm not going to try to connect with all 70,000 of these people. I'm going to just go through here one day, and I'm getting rid of all the people that I've never heard from or never – I've sent them emails, never got a response. I'm going to just delete them. I ended up with, like, maybe, after I finished deleting people, I ended up with, like, maybe, I don't know, 875 people.
Yeah.
And I thought it was going to kill my stats as far as my number of plays and all that kind of stuff like that. And I was saying, it sure didn't.
Yeah.
Didn't hurt a thing. So numbers can lie.
Absolutely.
Those big numbers you see.
Well, and they can be manipulated. I mean, we've found
that
too.
Definitely.
You know
with the right marketing people behind you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Those numbers can't
yeah,
be
you can pay to get hits to your YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
It's funny
do.
You can see. Yeah, and they do, and because I know some people who have done that. But I'm like,
yep.
Okay, you go to their YouTubes, you see like 70,000 hits to the YouTube, but you see 7 comments.
Right.
Yeah, right.
You think there would be a few more comments if you got that many hits to your,
exactly.
you know, to your YouTube and stuff. So, yeah, it's that is interesting. So John, before I bring in the next caller, what do you think has been the benefit for you as an artist and what you're doing on the social networks?
I guess in networking in itself, being able to directly interact with people in real time, so to speak. That for me has been the biggest benefit because I get to interact with people on a level that's not film and on a level that's music or beyond music. You know, who's your team or, you know, did you make it to the show or, you know, on a more personal level, which for me, that's right up my alley. So, you know, I'm a personable person. I like to interact with fans and friends directly and due to these social networks, we're able to do that. I mean, you know, it's not quite the same as being face-to-face, hey, let's get a cup of coffee. But sometimes it runs a close second. So for me personally, that's been the benefit, is to be able to interact with people so they can see you, somewhat see you at least, on a level that isn't on the big screen or on some station in who knows where. Because people, until they can identify with you on some personal level, they assume certain things about you and they come to certain conclusions about you based on their preconceived notions of what they've heard or what they've seen without interacting with you. It definitely changes the relationship between the fan and the artist once they get to interact with you. For me, it's definitely been the interaction portion of the social network.
Right.
That was the short answer.
Okay.
That was a good answer.
Well, thank you.
That is a good answer. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, and this is something that BK and Stephen and I talked about early in the show, especially with BK. It's like when you can take the time and opportunity to respond to people that, you know, that are actually paying attention to who you are and what you're doing, that there in itself is creating, I think, a true fan base. You know, the potential is greater there to get them to repost what you're doing to their networks, to them purchasing, you know, your product when it's made available, and this and that, you know. So I think that it can be utilized in a bad way, and I think it can be utilized in a very rewarding way, you know, if you figure it out. But I do think that people need to figure that out. And, you know, whether you have to go to the point like I did and create a personal page just for Susan, you know, that only certain people get over on that page, to then keep my Lady Flava page and then having the Flava News, you know, business page or whatever, you know, to keep it straight. I do think that's something that artists should think about when they are trying to promote themselves out there.
Absolutely.
You know, when somebody comes to that page, what are they going to engage from you? So if you're sitting there cussing out your baby's mom, you know, on your page,
selling your music.
You know, but and then you've got a track you want somebody to hear that's called "I Love My Mama." Like, are you serious? You love your mama,
love
but you're cussing
mama,
out your baby.
Not my baby
mom,
mama.
You know?
Right.
You know,
you
know, so
you just gave some rapper somewhere an idea for a track. You know
that,
right?
Oh, it's happened. It's already been done, but I'm sure there, as we speak, there's one being created.
But it's so funny. That's the other disappointing thing is when you hear a track, right? Like, for instance, for me, I was talking to BK earlier that I'm drawn to more of the conscious type hip hop, you know, something with a message and a great beat and, you know, even with a hook in there, whatever, you know, but that's what I'm going to pay attention to. But it's like, if you put out something really great like that, and then I see you online posting some drama, I'm going to really think twice, you know, about like, This is something that I really learned in 2011. It's like, okay, you know what? Your personality is not matching your art.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that's
the downside of social media for some artists is that before it was irrelevant what they did in their personal lives, how they spoke to people, what they did off stage, and now they're being judged for it. So they have to be almost kind of extra cautious.
Right.
You know, if there's someone like you and they're an artist that doesn't really match what they say, they're exposed a lot more quickly for that behavior than was true in the past.
Sure.
That's true.
Well, let me bring in another caller and have them join us. So, caller from the anonymous number, you're on Flavism with BK and Stephen Jerome Ferguson and John D. Greenstein. You're welcome.
Good evening. How are you?
Well, is this Eternally Blaze?
You know it. How's everybody?
Very good.
Hi, how's everybody doing tonight?
Hey there. Good.
So Blaze, so just to introduce you to BK, BK is an amazing vocalist and MC out of California. I don't know if you've seen me repost on my Facebook before. So if you ever see something I say about, I love BK because I always start that, don't I, BK? Because I just do.
I'm like, man.
It's
so true. I do many things.
But she does these amazing one-minute bit videos. And I think they're just very effective. So anyway, BK's on the line with us along with, you know, your SJF family with Stephen Jerome Ferguson and John D. Green Sr. And BK, Eternally Blaze is a, how should I put it? I don't want to put out there that you're an erotic spoken word artist because you're much more than that.
I'm a sensual spoken word artist.
Okay, sensual spoken word artist, but also at the same time very, very spiritual. So you've been listening to the conversation off and on since the show started, Blaze. So what are you thinking? What are your thoughts about, the social network? And maybe because you are more on that sensual line, sexual line of your art, do you think there is a way of marketing who you are and what you do, but keeping it tasteful and respectful where people will respect you versus going off the deep end and poking you because they see your feet?
Okay, first I want to say good evening to BK. And yes, I did see and repost your music. It is definitely awesome. I am honored to have this opportunity to meet you. And to the family, hey. As far as the question is, yes, I am a sensual spoken word artist, and I come up to but do not cross the line. I believe that you can be sensual and sexual without being revealing. There is an excitement with non-disclosure, because if you let your imagination take you where your features and your attributes don't have to take you, then I think it just brings it to another heightened pleasure, if you follow what I mean.
I do.
Good. You don't have to put everything on Front Street. If you are sexy, if you are intelligent, if you know exactly what's going on, it will be revealed. I don't have to just bring out every degree I ever got or every promotion I ever had to show you that I do know what I'm talking about or I do know what this conversation is going or whatever the case may be. It will, my grandmother used to tell me, whatever's in the wash will come out in the rinse.
True.
You know, so you don't have to put it out there. You don't have to display, I am a woman. The essence of your womanhood will come out eventually and go after whoever you want it to go after or attract whoever you want it to attract. So with that being said, you do have to be very careful and selective on how you choose to present yourself, because that others will continuously see you. You may slip and fall. And you know the Marilyn Monroe scene where she stands over the little grated area and the wind goes up?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing else about Marilyn Monroe, they're going to always remember when her dress
remember
went.
That. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. You know, so
right.
Whatever you're doing out there, you got to remember that this is the thing that's going to stay in all of these people's minds maybe forever. So make sure that you make that a conscious effort to give it your best and not just any old thing. You know what I mean?
Now, do you exude this naturally? Just, I mean, in terms of the level of sensuality that you decide to display, is this is you? Like every day, like if I met you at a supermarket, I could capture some of this from you. Is that accurate?
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Okay.
I you know how they say I walk it and I talk it.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
So
I'm
you
not...
shine it. It's all around you.
Yeah. That's who I am.
Gotcha.
That's
I
who
gotcha.
I am. I'm not an expert except within my own self-being. You know what I mean? I know
absolutely.
What I like. And
yeah.
I'm sure if I like it, there's someone else that might like it as well. So I don't mind sharing it with you.
Do
you
ever feel
you know,
pressure to go farther? I'm just curious because you kind of, it appears at least, and I'm going to go and do some research, but it appears that you are a step up in the sensuality display than I am, and it seems to be very indicative of just who you are, so you're just displaying that as it is. Do you ever feel pressure, or are you told to take it farther in your experience?
Oh, no.
No.
My whole concept is love. I'm not worried about sexuality. I'm not worried about being sensual. My whole concept is love, okay? And I want you to experience love on a new level, a level
yeah.
where you might have overlooked before or you just took it for granted, you know? But I'm going to bring you back to the basics.
Okay.
So, no, I'm not pressured to impress anybody or to try to reteach you. You know, I just believe that if you open your mind and just give thought process to what I'm saying, the simple things in life, those are where the true pleasures are.
Understood.
Okay.
John's laughing.
Because I'm sitting here thinking, Eternally Blaze is the kind of thing that you put on when you've been together with somebody for 20 years and you want to feel like you're 20 again.
Yeah.
That's you put on. And I'm
okay,
like,
I feel like I'm missing out here because everybody knows what's going on.
Where can I
find out about you? Where can I experience what others are experiencing? Where can I find you?
So you know what? Let me just stop here and let's just let me find it, and I will play a piece for you, BK.
Please do.
Grab some ice, BK, and break out all the fans.
I feel left out. I have to admit, I feel a little left out here, so I need to educate.
So let me just let me give you, BK, my sense of Blaze. When I talked about like my hair cut yesterday, right? And I don't know if I believe that I said that was my Blaze moment or something. It she talks a lot about like pampering yourself, like remembering to take that time out for you and, you know, doing special things for you. Like, for instance, with myself, I'm so wrapped up in being Grandma and Lady Flava, I forget about myself, you know. And so, like, even like my hair, you know, usually it's cut in a style, right? But I had to let it grow, you know, out, and, you know, there was no style left to it. And stuff, but it was like, you know, I'm not sitting here thinking about getting my hair cut, you know, I'm running my daddy around. Well, then I had this Blaze moment, I called it yesterday, and said, you know what, daddy wants to get his hair cut, I'm going to get it cut, my hair cut too. So it's like, you know, talking about pampering yourself. One day I was actually home by myself, and I have a clawfoot tub, and I ran a hot bath and just soaked. That was my Blaze moment, you know. So it's not just like the sensuality thing, but she's also about just like taking care of you, you know, and
right.
loving you and all of that stuff.
Absolutely.
So with that said, I'm going to play Eternally Blaze by Eternally Blaze for BK.
Perfect.
sensual one. I am the sexual one. I am the erotic one. I'm the one that others say, she's the erotic one. I am yours, eternally raised. I am the erotic one. I am the hypnotic one. I am the one with just my voice can and will put you in a trance. I am the one who, after kissing your whole body, even an hour later, on your lips, my sweetness is still there. I am yours, eternally brave. I am the one dripping with romance. I am the one you hope will give you a second and third chance. I'm the one to drop it like it's hot. Yeah. I'm the one you wish you could, but never forgot. I am yours, eternally blazed. I am the one other women wish they could be. For I possess the secrets to bringing even the strongest man to his knees. I am the one who will listen to your wants, dreams, and desires, and who will always pass the test. I am the one who will bring to you your euphoric fantasies, delivering erotic ecstasy, leaving you in a puddle of your own essence. Yeah, that's my ultimate. I am yours, eternally. I am the one who will go deeper than any woman has ever gone before. I am the woman who will not just enter your mind and body, I want also your heart and then soul. For I am the one who will be loving you unconditionally till we have both gotten comfortably home. For I am yours, eternally blessed.
BK, now you got a taste of Eternally Blaze.
I did. I got more than a taste. I felt like I was on a spiritual journey there. That was, you know, I actually was really feeling that.
Wow. Thank you.
And it's, you know, I've heard a lot of spoken word over the years, and I like that what you do is totally original. You know, and I have to give props where props are due, and I definitely think props are due here, and that it's very original. I feel like there's a sound to you, and I get a much better understanding listening to your music is to exactly kind of what you're describing now. I think it makes a lot of sense to me. So that was good. Thank you for sharing that.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
I think that some of the conversations that Blaze and I have had, you know, on the air and even off the air, BK, is you know how you start a relationship with somebody and there's just all that excitement and the tingle in the stomach and just, you know, just cannot wait to hear from that person or spend time with that person. And then you get connected and you kind of fall into a routine. So then all that, like, spark kind of disappears.
Sure.
You know, Blaze, you know, tries to, like, say, you know, you can still be in that relationship.
That's
but,
right.
You know, rekindle it and bring
sure.
that spark back into it, even if it may have disappeared, you know, when you love each other. And, you know, her feeling is if you can get, you know, reconnected with your intimate loved one, you know, there'll be less divorces or less, you know, extramarital or what, you know, affairs or, you know,
absolutely,
whatever.
There's a lot of wisdom to that. There's a lot of wisdom to that. And I think we don't get enough of that, you know. And then, and I also kind of got, you know, me personally, there was a little bit of self in there as well, like being the best that you can be, finding that inner spirit within yourself, which I think, you know, automatically reflects onto others, your relationship and all those around you. So
sure.
That was cool.
You definitely get me. Yes.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, you play me a song, and I—that's my language. So I very much appreciate what you're relaying, and I think it's a beautiful thing, you know. And I wish more individuals actually were speaking on that level, because I think so many more individuals need to hear it. You know, there are a lot of young females out there that unfortunately don't get exposed to that enough to be able to kind of find that love within themselves to be that best. That ultimate 10 that they can be. So,
yeah.
You know.
No, see, there's a deeper level. Well, no, not necessarily deeper, but a deeper level from the male perspective. Allow me to elaborate.
Okay.
To hear something like that piece, let's take that piece in particular. To hear that piece from Eternally Blaze is amazing. It's beautiful. I've always admired the piece for what it is. But now you take that piece and you take your significant other and she were to hear that piece, and that piece should empower her to say, hey, baby, listen, check
right.
this out.
Right.
This piece is something that she has taken. This is her anthem, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And she shared this piece with you. That is power embodied. Now that, my friend, that is hot.
Yeah.
That is hot.
And that's important. I mean, if she's able to nail a female perspective and a male perspective in one tune, I think that's a really powerful thing.
You know?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Blaze.
Well, basically, I just want the message to be just that. I don't want to bang you over the head with it, but I want it to just slip in. Just slip it through those little thoughts in your mind where you can say, you know what, I can do this. I do love this man. I do love this woman. You know what I mean? And
absolutely.
I can make this, what we have, even better, but I need to start with me. Whether
yes.
it's the male or the female, let me love me. Then I can show her or him that love that we both hunger for. Because that is something that every last human being out here wants. They want to be loved. They want to be accepted.
Absolutely.
And if we learn how to love one another, then we will, you know, continue to grow in that aspect. But first, we have to learn to love ourselves. We have to pamper ourselves. We have to get that haircut and get those nails done or buy that suit or buy that cologne. You know, not because we got the big head, but because we feel good about being you.
Yeah.
And you, and
which
you,
is, wait, oh. I mean, I feel like that concept in general is lost, especially in youth. I feel like, you know, they don't grow up feeling proud of who they are. And I think it's important
right.
to remind individuals, especially young individuals, that it does start with self.
Yes.
You know, that if you're at your
right.
best and your maximum capacity of loving self, that you know, are then and only then really able to share that kind of intimacy with another.
Exactly.
And I don't get that a lot in what's played on the radio. I don't get that in a lot of the daily music that I listen to, and it's a shame.
Yeah.
And that kind of goes back to what we were talking about originally. If you are an artist, and you're trying to build an online presence, if you don't have that love in your heart for that music or that photography that you do or the paintings that you produce, if you don't have that true love for it, it's not gonna come across. It can't be faked.
Uh-uh,
you
right.
can't fake it. Because
That's
people
right.
will recognize a fake in a skinny minute nowadays.
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. If you've got that true belief in what you're doing is good and it's real and it's right, everything that you do online, it's going to have that basic undertone to it. And people recognize that, and they'll gravitate towards it.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I agree with you, you know, on that. I think that people can feel whether you're genuine. And, you know, and BK and, you know, everybody else, you know, on the panel, I mean, this is where it comes back to what I was saying earlier in the show. You know, art is much more than just creating just for an enjoyment or whatever. I mean, it can set tones. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
like you could be having a bad day, but you put in your favorite artist or something, and it just changes your attitude.
Definitely.
Or there are pieces, like John D. Green Sr. has a piece called Tribal Mental Cleanse, where it allows you to just feel angry and aggressive, you know?
Sure.
And I think that when art can do that for you, to allow you to either change up an attitude and mood, or allow you to feel what you're feeling, that's a beautiful thing. And I think that a lot of artists really don't understand their power, you know?
Yeah.
Of how you guys can affect us. So.
I also think it's scary. I mean, I think there's a level of fear in at least some artists that I've worked with in the past and have seen just kind of going in this journey. There is a fear that that people are listening, you know. It's a very bittersweet experience, and it does kind of take, again, that belief in yourself, that belief in what it is that you do and the power within that to get other people to believe. Otherwise, you know, they'll see right through you, and that's not what you want. I mean, I'm assuming that's not what I want. I don't know about other artists, but, you know, I definitely want them to feel the sincerity in what I do. I agree with that.
Yeah.
You know, and the beautiful thing
is,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's it. Seeing that passion is everything. It's So Stevens coined it. He said about, you know, people, that skinny minute. I love that line, by the way. People, about the passion. Sometimes you see it, and there are other times when you hear it and you feel it. And for people like us, and I'm not saying we're the greatest, but we are. You know, it's in us so much. It's almost inevitable that other people will be able to feel it and hear it. And that part is just as important as the music and the art that we do and the music that we make. To us, that's life. That's like the blood we bleed or the air we breathe. It's everything to us. So when that conveys to the fans and our friends and they can feel it as well as hear it and see it, that matters as much as the piece we're making. You know?
Exactly.
It's not everyone. Some people, they do it for, you know, what's hot right now, which we have that conversation almost every other day. But, you know, amongst, you know, Lady Flavor and Steven and the crew at SJ, we have that conversation quite a bit. That what's hot right now is kind of a rash, if you will, because it's taken away from, there are great artists that have potential for great, great music that will shun that for what's hot right now.
Absolutely.
Right. And that makes me sad when I see somebody else out there, you know, trying to copycat somebody, you know, and, you know, I'm just going to take advantage of the fact, BK, that you're on the show tonight, because I want to ask the question now.
Sure.
Hopefully we don't scare you off and you never call back in. Okay, so first of all, I just want to say the beauty of this right now at this moment is that, you know, I'm in Seattle, Washington. You know, BK's in California, Stephen's in Kansas, John's in Michigan, and Blaze is in New York. I mean, where can you come together and have a conversation like this with people from across the United States, right?
Sure.
So that's a beautiful thing. But I was just kind of curious, you know, BK, because you are, you know, part of the hip-hop community. You know, what are your thoughts on these? Like, I want to, and I'm just not, like, really schooled well on it, but, like, the mixtapes, like, the artists, you know, rapping over Drake and, you know.
Oh, the mixtape conversation. Well, I'll speak very openly. I grew up playing jazz from fifth grade. I played clarinet and bass clarinet, saxophone, and anything I could get my hands on. And, you know, my training on music is a little bit different from what I see than a lot of the my fellow hip-hop artists that I work with. I have never put out a mixtape in my life. I don't see myself ever putting out a mixtape. There's definitely a benefit of coming out onto a show and doing something that's familiar, maybe putting a different spin on it. I'm a little troubled as an artist with the mixtape concept. I would like to see more originality. I think I really struggle. For me, with no ego behind it, it doesn't seem that complicated to write your own verse to something that already exists. I think there's a much greater challenge in artistry to create something brand new and fresh that people haven't heard before. And I do kind of worry about the popularity of mixtapes breaking and making artists. I don't always know how that transcends. I know it's a really popular thing to do. For me, there's a part of it that feels like cheating in a way. It feels right. Different than just sampling a little piece and flipping it and twisting it and making it your own, which even still some people would argue the lack of originality would dissuade a lot of, like, you know, quote, real musicians that compose music. I struggle with mixtapes. I understand that they're relevant. I'm good at hip-hop music, and I think that where I stray is I am definitely more rebellious in not following the formula that most hip-hop follows. And the mixtape is one of those for me. So for me, you probably will never, ever hear a BK mixtape in your life. I just feel much better about putting something raw and fresh out. I think it's more intriguing to the ears. I don't know if I answered that question per se, but mixtapes for me feel a little bit of a cheat. And I would like to see it be a little bit less that.
Wow, BK, I knew I liked you for some reason.
Have we had a conversation like this before? Because I got a real feel from a deja vu or something.
Oh, that was deep.
That was cool.
And that's from a hip-hop artist, a very talented hip hop art.
A lot of people, you know, and I have, they've been offended by that point of view. I'm obviously glad that no one is, at least seemingly in this particular conversation. But there is something to be said about original music, and I don't think that you can be an icon without that. I think you can be a moment, and I think that that might be all that you are, but if you really want your music to transcend over decades, I don't think that you can skimp on the originality. I just don't.
Well, history repeats itself. You look at the people that are like icons in the music business. You look at the people like Stevie Wonder, James Brown.
That's right.
Aretha Franklin, Eric Clapton, the list goes on and on. All original music.
That's right.
Okay. And then you look at the one hit wonders and the flash in the pan people that you say, oh man, yeah, I think I kind of remember that guy. And, you know, it's You got one hand, you got the people in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and on the other hand, you got people that put out one CD and now they're working at Walmart.
Right.
You know, so there you go.
That right. conversation, you can always have that conversation and have people that favor your opinion of that conversation when you're surrounded by composers.
Right.
That's the perfect conversation for us.
Definitely.
If I'm biased towards your opinion because of that fact.
That's right. I understand that. Sure.
I mean, I could do covers all day. Steven and I could get together and do 50 covers. I bet we could do it in a week.
That's right.
Easy.
Yeah.
Especially if they're jazz. If they're just jazz. If they were instrumental, oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
No.
Yeah. All day.
You go by the sheet music, you reproduce
right.
it, you kind of twist it around a little bit, there you go, done.
There
next,
you go.
You know,
but it's like someone laid that foundation, that melody, that concept, and I think that, you know, especially in hip-hop, that it makes me sad because what I really gravitated towards when I started hip-hop was the fact that I really thought it was original. You know, I really
right.
thought, you know... you know, and you have moments, obviously, even back in the day, things are recovering things that already existed. A lot of those tunes were old Motown records or whatever, and they're sampling.
Right.
And there's a beauty in that, too, and from a composer standpoint, if you can chop a sample. And you know, I understand that part, too. But I got into hip-hop initially because it was such an expression that felt original. And that has obviously, over time, been recycled and changed and I still love it, so I do it, but unfortunately, in terms of being part of that movement in this point in time, I don't fit in. I self-admittingly, I'm glad I don't fit in. You know, I'm hoping that the tides will change as music does and that people will start to kind of reappreciate that more original aspect of hip-hop, you know, and I think Lady Flava, you know, I was up in the Northwest. It's a much more lyrical conscious place. I left there because, you know, believe it or not, I didn't fit in there either. You know, it was like I was too poppy for them. My hooks were too memorable. I was too melodic for a lot of what the Northwest was doing at the time. So I came to LA where they were the opposite. Top 40 formula, you know, they wanted the same beat recycled to give to the top five artists on their roster. I'm looking for that in between. You know, I want something that contains the elements that I did love in jazz. You know, I want the melody to be present. I want multiple arrangements going on at the same time. But I also love lyrical hip hop and actually having a message, something
yeah.
to say, something to communicate that isn't just, let me pop this bottle that is bought for me and let me show you this car that isn't even mine. You know, I mean, I'm tired of this. You know, it's crazy.
I'm going to step on the hip hop side of it for a minute because I had this ability where I can see both sides of the fence a little bit. And a lot of the original, the way hip hop and rap basically first got started, pretty much, and it's a reason why they used to call these guys MCs, because MC is a master of ceremony.
That's right.
And a lot of times in the clubs back in the day, especially when they started coming out with the long club mixes of songs and stuff like that, the DJ would get up there and spin this 30-minute stretched out song of a song that was originally 3 minutes and 26 seconds long.
Right.
And the MC would have to get the crowd going and that kind of stuff like that. So they start spitting rhymes to that music, to that beat.
Right.
And that part of it was kind of like the original part where, you know, you had these people that had this talent to be able to rhyme and to, you know, to speak like that, but they didn't have a bass player, a guitar player, a drummer. They didn't have $356 an hour to go into a studio to do it.
Right.
So I tell you what, let's just take this beat and just recycle this thing over and over again and just let me say my stuff to it. you know, and that's pretty much how it got started. But and probably a lot of the old hip hop guys gonna say, yeah, you know what you're talking about, but it's every genre of music has its roots, and those roots have to be respected. But with the technology that we have now, there's really no reason to have to do that, because you go online right now and go to Google and put in beat makers, and you'll come up with 90 pages of guys. That's all they do is make beats all day long and send them to people.
That's right.
You know, so you don't have to take somebody else's stuff and make it yours, for instance. You can just be original. I mean, go for
sure.
It. Technology is
sure.
out there now.
Yeah, I was going to say, and the affordability factor, you know, back in the day, you know, you paid for studio time. You don't have
right.
to do that anymore. There are free applications and programs you can use
mm-hmm.
now that almost eliminate any excuse that you have of creating, you know, original music. And I, you know, back in the day, and I'm sure you know, as a jazz musician, it's like, I could play a solo on Night of Tunisia, and it would be an original solo in a piece that already had its foundation. I'm cool
right.
with that. You know, someone
mm-hmm.
wants to spit a rhyme and make it different over something that exists in a live format, I think I'm cool with that.
Oh, definitely,
but are you going to make
yeah.
an entire CD out of that crap? No.
And
I'm
no,
not,
probably
I'm not,
not
cool
a good
with
idea.
That. No.
No.
So it's got its time and place, you know.
I appreciate your response, CK, and you know, and Stephen, you know, and Stephen knows this already. I made the mistake, maybe, if I want to call. I mean, I won't say it's a mistake because, you know, Lady Flava tends to like to live on the edge at points. But a hip hop artist said, "Well, whose track should I rap over?" You know, and they were like throwing out Drake and whomever, right?
Sure.
And so why did I chime in and say, okay, is there something wrong with being original? Oh, my goodness. Why did I do that? Because every little friend of his started going at me.
Sure.
You know, and it was like, you don't know what you're talking about. You've got to do it over somebody that's already known for you to get known out there before you can even go and be original. I'm like, are you serious?
I think, unfortunately,
like,
that is what you're told when you are kind of a rising hip-hop, you know, aspiring. You're saying, you know, even Jay-Z will say, oh, you know, they're reading in The Source and Double XL about how so-and-so got picked up because their mixtape was heard by Jay-Z, and now they're signed. And I think there is kind of this idea now, unfortunately, that that's the only way that you're going to get credibility. And unfortunately, that's not the kind of credibility that I want. You know, I mean, yeah, what kind of credibility are we talking about? Okay, you can take something that exists and kind of revamp it, but can you do you? That's going to run out eventually. That's, again, like the icon conversation. It's just, where do you want to be in music? Do you want to be a moment, or do you seriously want decades later for your, you know, people to remember you and play you? I want to be the icon. I want to be somebody that, you know, somebody respects their musicality as much as their performance or anything else. And I think the mixtape really limits you with that.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's
we've got somebody who's been holding on the line. So just a minute, Stephen, let me bring them in before the show runs out. So I'm so sorry, Leah, for keeping you on hold, but welcome to Flavism. Leah, are you there?
Okay,
asleep. Leah, I'm going to...
Yeah, I'm here. How are you doing?
Oh, okay. Good, how are you?
Cool. All right, I haven't, you know, talked to you in a while, but I know I'm coming
know.
In late, but, you know, I just had to say hi, everybody.
So what do you think about the conversation tonight, the subject?
It's very interesting. I mean, you know, it's always good to hear, you know, other people's perspective of music. A lot of people know, not everybody, but some people know how I feel about wanting to do a mixtape. because I mean, you know, I mentioned to you about that before, right? About doing a tape that has, you know, rock and then that has, you know, spoken word and, you know, I'm just, you know, because, yeah, the mixtape.
But that's a different
type of
a different type of mixture, you know.
Yeah, yeah, right, right.
And what we're talking about, but yeah.
Yeah, it's always, I just want to, you know, just say that part about, you know, I'm still thinking about doing that, you know, because a lot of people don't know that I'm going to be doing that, so.
Okay.
So that's, it's you know, I know that, but yeah, you're right. What you're saying about all this other stuff, you know, it's amazing that, you know, how everybody just come together, because, you know, normally, like you were saying earlier, that how do people come together, you know, knowing somebody's over in New York and somebody's here. It's amazing how we all can come together and talk about this music business. I mean, I think this is, I just want to say it was great, you know, that you even got this started for all of us. I mean, I appreciate your work. I appreciate everything
that
you're doing.
Well, I mean, it's something, I mean, I think that if nothing else, that, you know, and I've said this many times on my shows and you guys have heard it, you know, but I think if nothing else, people would have to walk away from the fact that Lady Flava is very passionate about supporting underground independent artists, you know, and it doesn't mean that there aren't mainstream artists out there that I don't dig, because I do. You know, but I'll be honest with you, when it comes to what I experience in my personal space, it is all about the unknown artists, the independent artists, the underground artists. And I think there's such amazing talents out there that deserve to be recognized, you know. And, you know, I never thought that I would be, you know, recognized, you know, around the globe, you know, as you very well know, you know, in being on the air for 2 years. You know, but I do have a following that is global now. And so just to be able to put you guys out there and to play your sounds or to have you come on shows and have people come back from, you know, all over the world and hear these shows in the archives or whatever, you know, that's just an amazing thing. So I do this because, you know, I just really believe in it, you know, and as, you know, many of you know, I really believe this is my journey that God's put me on with, you know, my spiritual feeling and understanding for myself, you know. And so this is what I believe I'm meant to do. As frustrated as I can get and this and that, you know, in dealing with artists, every day I wake up, you know, and this is what I do. This is what I feel, and it feels good. It feels exciting. There's nothing boring about you guys. You know what I mean? There's nothing boring about doing this. And to be able to be at a point in my life at 51 years old to do this kind of stuff, I'm thrilled. So I'm glad you guys like what I do, you know. And BK, I was told when I first started doing radio, I have radio show host friends, you know, calling and sending me messages like, Flava, don't do it like that. You can't feature an artist that way and not have your questions written out. And you can't. And then I was like, you know, and I tried to take it into consideration what they were saying. And then I thought, you know what, but this is me. You know, this is how I do it. I am not perfect, you know, but I love just sitting and having conversations and opening up dialogue and hopefully, you know, being able to have challenging, healthy conversations, you know, as such as what we've had tonight. You know, and that's the beautiful thing, you know, about, you know, doing what you love and staying true to self. And I think that's, you know, that's what I get out of what you said, you know, BK, to, you know, what Steven does and what John and Blaze you know, Leah does. They all are very different artists. Every single artist that's on the phone right now.
Yeah, it seems to be very,
very
different.
Different in styles, you know, and so it's like, be able to have a conversation like this with different genres and different age groups and, you know, styles and all of that and everybody being true to yourself, I think that's such a beautiful thing, you know. And, you know, I thought this was a good conversation and I appreciate you guys, you know, indulging me on it because I've been thinking about it a lot, you know, about, you know, what is your personality? You know, can you sell yourself? Do you have it to engage people to get them to the point where they're paying attention to you? And I think that when you are an artist and you're stepping out there publicly, you want people to pay attention to you. As
Absolutely.
A radio show host, I want people to pay attention to me, you know. And so, you know, do you have that in you to really, you know, attract the right attention to then, you know, what does it look like to be on the social networks? How do you present yourself? What are, you know, and it almost goes back to that point of, you know, you only have, you know, one time to make that first impression, right? And so, you know, what is it that people are going
to
really, you know, get, you know, from, you know, hold on to and remember, you know, from experience, you know, us, you know, being online. So,
have you ever thought about, because I know there's a lot of artists, you know, out there, and they don't, you know, they don't make good music. Are you there? You hear me?
Uh-oh.
I'm here.
Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you. You hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, yeah. You can hear me?
Oh,
I can
now. Okay. I didn't hear what you were saying, Leah.
Now I can. I never, you know, heard the subject, but I know that there's artists out there that don't really make good music, but the people like them because of their personality, you know, their personality. They just think they're cool and they're, you know, they just lay back. They just like them. And they don't even like their music. They buy it because they like them.
Sure. Right.
Have you seen that before?
And that's a good point. That's a good point. Because I think that there are artists out there that know how to create that hype and have a great personality, but they don't necessarily have the best, you know, production of art or, you know, really have our quality as far as, you know, in my mind recognition. And I'm just going to keep it real. I mean, this is one of the things that I used to get battled about. Everybody should be able to create. I so agree. I mean, even
sure.
Like me, sometimes I try to create, you know, but it's like, but to know whether you have the capability of being recognized and people digging in their pockets for what you create, there's a difference.
Yeah.
And
okay.
I know a lot of,
I'm so sorry, but I got to say this before I bust wide open.
Okay.
Yes, there are artists out there that, like Leah said, is not making really good music, but people are buying it because they like them as a person, or they like their personality, or like they like what they're wearing and all that. You know what? I'm sorry, but if you're buying my music because you like me, please save your money.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Please save your money.
Keep your money. Yeah,
okay?
I'm with you.
If you're going to buy my music because you like the music.
You love the music. Yeah. Well, I mean, they may like one or two tracks. I mean, you know, I'm just saying, though.
No, please. I'm talking to everybody that's listening to this show that may want to buy anything that I ever do. If you're buying it because you like me, please keep your money.
But why? Yeah. Tell me why.
Because I'm doing this not for liking me. I'm doing this for the music.
Right.
So they don't have to like you, but just like your music. I mean, it goes together, you know, really in a way. You know what I'm saying?
It kind of does.
It does. The music is first.
The music has to be first.
Priority. It has to be.
I definitely agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
The music has to be first.
The rest of it turns into that visual versus music conversation. Like, okay, so if we eliminated everything that you knew and saw about me and you just heard my song, would you still buy it? I only want those people whose answer is yes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we know there's a lot of artists that's huge and, you know, they just...
It doesn't matter to me what they're doing. I got to stay true to myself.
Yeah.
I can't go by what somebody else is doing or whatever, because I'm doing this because of my music, because I have a very deep passion for my music. It's mine. It's nobody else's. And if you want to buy it, please buy it because you dig the music, not because
you trying to get on my good side or whatever. I'm not down for that.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll never know why people buy the music.
Well, you know, if they don't tell you, you know, they don't tell you. But I'm just saying that, you know,
I'm never going to be one of those artists. You got to admit that I'm right about that.
Yeah, I do. There are some out there to do, but
I think a lot do.
I don't
want to
be included in that group.
Yeah,
I do not ever want to be included in that group.
Yeah, I mean you're not gonna say people just listen to Stevie Wonder because they like Stevie Wonder. They love Stevie Wonder's music, and you know what?
Exactly.
That's the level that I want to be on. When I create music, I'm creating it under those same guidelines. And then like the icon versus a moment. Everybody, you know, has a chance at a moment, but there are very few that are going to
stay true. What happens when your good looks are gone?
That's right. Yeah, when your
good looks are
going to
go away. They're going to go away.
That's
okay.
Right.
Then what happens?
That'll be probably double.
Then you end up like some. Then you end up working in Walmart as a greeter.
That's right.
Okay.
Right. Too many artists just working at Walmart.
So,
no, but seriously, I'm just saying. I mean, I think when we all go to do a project on our, you know, our music, I'm sure it's all passion and, you know, we love it. I mean, that's what, you know, that's what artists do. But I'm just saying. But there is fans out there and friends that just like you as a person.
Those aren't fans to me. Those aren't fans of the music. You know, they may be fans of me as a person, but that's not fans of the music. And I think that those are very different things. And I appreciate fans of me, and that's great. You know, I have friends that are fans of me. But that's not why I'm in music. You know, fans of music is a very different subject, and that's what I'm in it for.
Exactly. That's really the only reason
I'm
online.
I mean, if it wasn't
for my music, I would not be on Facebook. I would not be on Twitter.
That's
I would
right.
not be
yeah,
on LinkedIn.
Right.
I would not
right.
be anywhere else.
Yeah.
Right.
If it wasn't for the music, I wouldn't be out there at all.
Yeah,
that's what I'm out there for.
I brought that up because, I mean, I have never heard nobody talk about it. Why is people buying your music?
I will say, you know, I totally appreciate what BK.
and
Stephen are saying, because I know, you know, even before this conversation with BK, because she's new to us, you know, I know that it was like that's what you want is people to get, you know, what your music about or what it is that you're passionate about, whether it's, you know, trying to save young people from killing themselves, you know,
mm-hmm.
or whatever it is. You know, I know that that's where your passion is. But I will agree with you, Leah, that there are people out there that will either, like, buy a mainstream artist track just because of the name and because everybody else has fallen into that hype. Just because, and it might suck, you know, or whatever. Or somebody may buy it because they like you. Their mama told them to buy it because, you know, you're the baby girl or, you know, whatever it is. I think in the end, hopefully, even if they buy it because they like it, like you, hopefully in the end they will actually like the art. But I'll be honest with you, there are some artists I like out there that, as people, that will never get played on my show.
Yeah.
They will never get played on my show. They will not be allowed to join the movement as an artist, you know, and all of that. And that may sound mean, but it's like, no.
Well, that's real.
No.
That's the
opinion. I mean, it was like I never liked it, basketball, but when I saw Michael Jordan play, then I wanted to watch basketball. See what I'm saying? You know, I didn't even like basketball. But he was playing, so I wanted to watch.
Sure.
You know, that's what I'm saying, is because it's just him.
Right.
Because he did it well.
Well,
you know, what he did.
Well, hopefully, you know, as artists, though, you know, hopefully anybody that supports you really believes in what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I hopefully. Right. I agree. And I think that it once you go public, as being an artist, you also need to be ready for the criticism, whether it is being constructive criticism or if it's people just being out there mean and being haters. That's just going to happen.
Yeah.
you know. And I think, and I would hope that everybody who is an artist is one of those kind of artists that are authentic, that stay true to who they are and what they create, because it is going to shine. You know, there's some jazz artists that I play, and I love them. They are bizarre as hell, you know, as far as, you know, some of the sounds and how they put it together. But even in that, I so love what they're creating because it's them and you can feel it. You know, I'll put like Michael Pollard out there. Like if you go and you listen to some of the music either I play on my show or you listen to the music that he creates, because he's similar to BK. He creates these regular videos of him playing, but he plays like indigenous instruments, like a flute out of a tusk or something. You know what I mean? And so how he makes this music out of these, you know, different type of instruments is just fascinating to me.
Yeah.
You know, and he's amazing. So it's just like when I came to know BK, it was just, I guess we became friends somehow on Facebook. I will assume she requested me. And then I saw her 1 minute spit and I'm like, oh my God. You know, I was hooked. You know, now this is my first time having a conversation with her, you know, and I'm like, but then, you know, I saw her passion when it came to saving our young people. I'm like, yes, that's my girl. I just love her even more now, you know, but it took my art, you know, it took my love of her art to get to the point of getting to know BK or Brooke as a person, you know?
Sure. And I'm cool with that.
So,
you know, that part I'm cool with. If initially, you know, it's the music that catches you and you get to know me after that and it doesn't disappoint you, then I'm absolutely ecstatic about that. But I do, you know, I hope that it wasn't because, you know, you thought of me anyway other than the artist that was presented to you. You know, I hope that it was kind of the art that initially drew you in that you got a sense of who I was through the art, because that, I think, is a special thing. If you can get that, that's an artist. That's not just, you know, that's the art right there, is being able to kind of combine all of those elements and get it to shine for someone who has no idea who you are, to capture that.
Right.
I think is the real deal.
And that's, you know, it's just like even, you know, the first time I had Stephen on my show, you know, over a year ago, it was just like, I mean, that calmness of his voice, the smoothness of the music he creates, you know, and all of that, that, you know, of course, the first thing that I ever heard from Stephen was his music, you know, and, you know, I didn't know him until he came on, you know, my show as a feature. So, you know, for me, that's where you're engaging me, is I've got to like your art, you know, in a sense, just because of who I am as Lady Flava. You know, I've got to like my, you know, I am not going to repost for somebody online, anywhere online, if I don't like what you're doing.
Yeah.
Then, I'll be honest with you, I could like your art, but if I don't like you as a person, I'm not reposting for you either.
Yeah, I can work against you. Absolutely.
Yeah. So.
It's that balance again. You have to, you know, where, I mean, if you chose a career where you're in the public spotlight, then you also have to choose the fact that, okay, I'm in the public spotlight, I got to learn how to deal with the public.
Right.
And, you know, you can't be a, for lack of a better phrase, a knucklehead, you know, and just act any kind of way you want to and expect to be able to make it in this world, in this career. Because especially online, because you never know who's watching you guys.
That's right.
You never know. I've had people, when I first started my Facebook page, that sent me a friend request. Never heard from them again until like maybe a year later. I post up a certain song or something, and they'll leave a comment saying, "You know what? That's the best. That's one of the best things I've heard on your page in about 2 years." So that tells me that they've been coming to look.
That's right.
They've been looking.
That's
you know, I can sit on your Facebook page all day long, and look at everything you post, so you'll never know I'm there. If I don't hit the like button or leave a comment, you have no way of knowing that I'm there.
Right. Exactly. You know? And some of the people that I became connected with in 2011, it was just like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People coming in a little, you know, if you don't come into the chat room, there's a way of listening to the show live without you coming into the chat room.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, and Stephen, you know, knows this, and John, you know, there have been some radio show hosts, not BTR radio show hosts, but radio show hosts that have come and listened to my shows and then reached out to me after the fact to joining their team. And I'll be honest with you, about a year ago, I'm going to assume it was honestly him, you know, but George Benson was sending me messages and telling me he really appreciated me and what I was doing. And then I was getting friend suggestions sent to me from George Benson. So, you know, I'd like to believe it was really him and not somebody who works for him as a publicist
sure.
or whatever. But even if it was that, I mean, for them to reach out to me behind the scenes and tell me they appreciated who I was and what I did, they didn't have to do that in his name.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
So,
And that
you know,
goes to show you there are a lot of people that work for record companies, that work for publicists, that work for management companies. That's all they do all day long.
They're hired for that.
Yeah, they're hired to do that, to,
right.
you know, listen to these radio shows, to go to people's Facebook pages
right.
and check them out.
Find the next best thing. Find
exactly.
out what's popping and new. Yeah, absolutely.
And if you don't have that professionalism when they come to check you out, then...
Yeah, you're done.
Yeah, you're done.
There's billions of people out there that do.
And you don't even know it. You know, you don't even realize it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's something that I preach to everybody that I'm working with. I'm jumping on that every day now. You know, make sure that when you post something on Facebook, before you hit that post button, before you hit OK, before you hit send, read it again. Make sure it's saying exactly what you want it to say.
Yeah.
Because once it's up there, it's up there.
It's done. Yeah.
It's done.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right.
So.
Exactly.
Be careful.
Well, you know, again, you know, the social networks is an interesting way, you know, of connecting. And it's an amazing tool that wasn't, you know, available to artists, you know, 20 years ago. And so I think that it's just you got to find your way of making it work. And if people aren't paying attention, then you need to wonder, is it your art they're not paying attention to? Is it your, you know, who you are and how you present yourself online that they're not paying attention to? Or is it maybe that you're not even online enough for them
sure.
to even know that you exist?
Know that you're there.
You could be the most amazing talent out there, but if you don't let yourself be known, you know, then they're not going to know. You know, most of you know that I started out as a book reviewer. So that's, you know, pretty much, you know, in the days when I had my coffee house, you know, I became a book reviewer. And you know, these authors were getting, you know, hundreds or thousands of copies of their books created, but nobody knew they existed. You know, so I'm like, okay, do you really want to sit on those cases of books and not sell them? You know, especially if it's a good one. Okay, if I write a review on your book and it's a good review, that's a tool for you to use to market yourself.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's being said,
right.
you know, about
Absolutely.
My book. You know, so I do also encourage anybody who experiences an artist to write a review, whether it is going over to a YouTube place and putting your thoughts about, you know, the video that you watched, or if you buy a CD from an artist, going back to the site, whether it's CD Baby, iTunes, or SJF Music site, and writing a review of what you thought about it. Because the more people that you can show, you know, even paid attention to your product, but took the time to write a review on it, then that's a selling point too, you know, and all. So is you know, I this has been an absolutely amazing conversation tonight. I think you know, I hope that people that come back and listen to the archives will really benefit from it. You know, we can definitely table this again. I am going to do an artist roundtable. I think I scheduled it for Tuesday the 31st at 6 p.m. And the topic that I put for the artist roundtable is your family or loved ones versus your art.
Okay.
And the reason why I did that is because I know that people who are our loved ones make sacrifices to do what we do.
True.
You know,
yeah.
Whether it means, you know, they allow the artist to, you know, create and they take care of, you know, the home front financially, whether it means that you sacrifice time, you know, because the person is, you know, in the studio or, you know, out performing or out doing their hustle, or even if they're right there and on Facebook for 8 hours out of the day.
Yeah, but they're not
you
there.
You know, whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I think it's a good conversation to have, you know, around, you know, the people in your world, you know, and what does that look for, like for them. And I'm hoping that even some loved ones of artists would be willing to call in. And have that conversation too, you know, because I just, you know, for the people that I know personally, you know, I know the sacrifices that their wives and children and families and have made, you know, to allow them to be an artist, you know, and I know it's not always easy, especially when, you know, they're an underground independent artist trying to, you know, get recognized and appreciated for their talents. So I love these conversations, you know, and I thank you guys so much for hanging out with me. I mean, the recording live stopped at the two-hour point, so we actually went into a three-hour point. It is still recording live.
Cool.
So if anybody that comes back and listens to the archives will hear the conversation that continued after the two-hour point. So, but I am going to go ahead and end the conversation here. I could probably keep you on the line all night long and keep this going. But I think it was a good one. I think that people will benefit from it. And, you know, I really appreciate everybody on the line. And I know that it may seem like I'm pointing out BK, but BK's new to the show. You know, everybody else who's been on the line, Stephen and John and Leah and Blaze, you know, they're regular callers into my show. So it's not that I don't love you guys, because I do love you guys, but I really appreciated, you know, BK, you know, calling in and sharing a fresh perspective.
Nice to meet you too, BK. All right.
Nice to meet all of you. This has been, you know what, I've never done anything like this, and I just hit the number that on the website, and here we are, and I'm absolutely grateful that I did. And, you know, Lady Flava, I'm going to keep up with you as we go along for sure and keep tuning in. And you'll probably get me calling in from time to time whenever I have a couple of hours. I'd love to do this.
I so would love to have you, you know, BK, come back anytime that you have the time. And I appreciate the fact that you posted it out to your people because, you know, some of your people said that they're listening too tonight. So.
Cool.
And that's a wonderful thing also. So, you know, I thank you for that also. So, you know, you guys are all amazing. You know, just go out there and just keep doing you and creating. And, you know, I'm going to do my part in being the artist cheerleader and wave my leopard pom-poms and do whatever I can, you know, to help get you guys out there too who's paying attention to me. You know, because, like I say all the time.
I want you to do war in person for me.
I'd love to.
War is hot.
That's one of my favorite joints, and I would love to do that live for you. Absolutely.
That would be awesome.
Anytime. It's one of my personal favorites, so I'm glad that you captured that. That's a good one for me to the heart.
So does that mean you're going to spit live for us, BK?
There's always time to spit live. I mean, you know.
You can spit live. We have 35 minutes.
Sit a little live. Hold on, let me see if I can. Let's do it. I don't know that you guys can hear instrumentals on the phone. I don't know that it really. He said he wanted to hear some war. I don't know how good the clarity is going to be. I've never done this before, but let's see if we can. see if we can pull it up. Thank you.
there's a water going on outside. If you're paying attention, all the best is combined. There's a water going on outside. Step into the game, it's all the same, only the strong survive. There's a water going on outside. Step into the game, only the strong survive. There's a war going on outside, step into the game. There's a war going on outside, it's all the lessons can hide, but my reflections of protection of pride. And I can see that what we need is to fight. What does it mean to be right? What does it mean to be the seed to bring a being to life? What does it take to be strong? Or should I see that I'm wrong? Why can't we honestly be getting along with it? What's the deal when our family's broke? We can't provide the right type of life to mentally cope. Nope, we use syringes, so we pack and we tote. We got to give enough smoke. We got monopoly, no coke. I use planking. It's 9 to 5 to make it, but these ways to save for Nathan and survival, taking all we're making. We out here dreaming, hustling and beaning, but my crew alone is smart enough to redefine a higher meaning. We give up never, right and wrong forever. If the weather changes, let it be for better. Always keep your head up. That little something for you?
Oh yeah!
I
that works.
Yeah,
that's nice.
All right, next time I know it comes out on the phone. Okay, I'll do a little something longer for you. I wasn't sure if I was leaving you guys hanging with Static or what, but
it sounded
nice.
Good from my end. But
that was nice.
So for everybody
nice.
who's listening to the show, you know, whether you listen to it live or whether you came back and listened to the archives and to those that were on the panel tonight, you know, if you're not friends with BK, you know, become friends. I put up her artist page on my wall, you know, but, you know, you definitely will always see me repost her 1 minute spits and, you know, her Nappy Roots video and all of that, you know, and I think that all of you who've had the opportunity tonight to engage her, you know, in conversation here. She's absolutely amazing artist, but she's an amazing person too. So
mm-hmm.
I think you won some new fans tonight.
I hope so. You know,
yeah.
New fans are good fans, and you know, I certainly appreciate just being a part of what we have going on here. I think it's incredible what you've done, and thank you for letting me babble on here for a couple hours. I appreciate it.
No, it was great.
All right, yeah.
I am going to say goodnight to all of you. You know, I appreciate all of you. You know, you guys make me look good. If it wasn't for you guys, I wouldn't exist, you know. So you guys make me look good, and you make my job easy. So I appreciate all of you, you know, for your time and your creativity. So take care. I'm going to be back on, Saturday at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Flava Coffee House online radio style. So, you know, help spread the word about that. I'll be doing a 15-minute set show on Sunday at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And everybody knows that I give 15 minutes to 8 artists on that show, and I play, you know, just their music for 15 minutes. So I love doing that show. And then I've got some great features coming up next week with Stephen Jerome Ferguson on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and then an amazing artist out of Dallas, Texas, Nuambe, will be on Thursday on the Leopard Carpet with me. So help spread the word about
what
I'm doing.
I
want
to know real quick, lady, is there no Pacific time for the payments, right? Or
no.
There is. Mm-hmm. Is there a date?
No.
Or is it just
no.
in that month, in this month, anytime? Or
it,
not, well, it can't
anytime.
Be possibly at the end of the month. It has to be in the beginning or in the middle.
No, well, but Leah, you're covered. So, yeah, no, there's no set time. I'm easy.
Oh. Okay. Well, yeah, because it's, you know, uh-huh. New Year.
Okay.
Yeah.
All righty.
Okay.
So,
all right,
everybody, good night. And,
all right, good night.
Know, all right.
Good night.
Talk to you soon.
Everybody,
okay.
Take care.
All right.
You too. Pleasure to meet you, BK.
You too.